I really had a struggle. Pastor asked me to preach. We will pray right at the end of the service. Pastor asked me to preach, so I got to thinking, and I went way back, and I got to thinking. Numerous folks have mentioned the fact that I was very close friends with Noah. And so I got to thinking about that, and so I got back with Noah. And I just wondered if Noah had anything that I might be able to pass on to you, that my friend Noah could show. So I went back, found the ark, got there to talk. Of course, when you're in the Navy, you can find things in the water. So I went back to my dear friend Noah, and lo and behold, he had some choice words for me. And he asked me very, very clearly if I would be willing to share them with you folks, and I said I'd be glad to. And so we, after our long talk, I wrote them down, and I'm not alone now. I know that Brother Sparks, I think I saw him out there in the background while I was talking to Noah, because he's been back there as well. But I just thought of these things, and it was amazing the things that Noah has and has for us that are definitely apropos to the times that we live in now. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Noah didn't have this Bible. He didn't. Did you ever think about that with somebody like Noah? He didn't have a Bible. I know that he personally got to talk with God. And God showed him things, and he had special things. But before I preach to you, I saw something last week as a military man, as a man that was in the military and other friends that are in the military. I saw something I just want to share with you, thinking about Memorial Day and how so far away our country's gotten from the things of Memorial Day. And you know what else I didn't do? My Butch has probably been waving at me, and he has. I'm good, okay. We'll just leave it the way it is. There's a fellow by the name of Luther Herschel. He was 16 years of age in 1950. I mean, he was born in 1932, excuse me. And in 1950, he talked his mama into letting him join the Army. He was from down in around Plains, Georgia. In fact, he worked on a peanut farm. Somebody we know had a peanut farm in that area, don't we? By the name of Jimmy Carter. But his family were sharecroppers in that area. And Herschel went to Korea at 16 years of age, 17 years of age. He got over to Korea in 1950. He was one of the participants in the battle that turned the tide in the Korean War, to where they stopped the advance of North Korea and China towards south, and finally got a stalemate, and ended up in 1953, ending up on the 38th parallel. But Luther fought in that battle, and during that battle, his company got attacked by a huge force, and almost everybody was killed, and Luther was wounded, and had the rest of his company retreat, and he stayed there. And the last they saw of Luther was he was shooting. There were over 100 dead Chinese around him at that time. They found some bodies there after the battle, but they couldn't identify who Herschel was. 73 years later, last week, through DNA that his sister had given, mama's dead, daddy's dead, sister's dead, brothers are dead, but he's got a niece. Through the DNA, they found Herschel's body at a cemetery in Honolulu, Hawaii. And day before yesterday, they took him back to Plains, Georgia, to Andersonville, Georgia, and buried him with full honors. The Korean government sent a major general to be there at that thing. You know, we need to remember. There's been, look, think of a mama. Never got to even know where her boy was buried. Was 18 years old when he died there on that lonely place in Korea. And we're here tonight because people like that were willing to do things like Herschel Luther Herschel. But now he's back in Plains, Georgia. 73 years later. You know what my thought went? I sure hope he was a Christian. I sure hope he was a Christian. That'd be a wonderful, wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Well, take your Bibles, if you would, with me. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now here's a verse I want you to give, and here's where I'm going to go back to Noah. "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." As I talked with Noah, listened with Noah, he gave me some things about this and said, use this verse to remind us of some things that he knew and some things that we need to know now. We live in dark times, folks. But Noah lived in dark times, didn't he? He lived in such dark times that the entire world is destroyed, except for him and his family. But he left us some things that can help us. And so I hope I can take some time tonight, some things that I learned from my friend Noah. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I do ask you, if you just allow the Spirit of God to work in my life, that the words that I say tonight will be words that will help the dear people that are before me. Lord, that we'll understand that you're ever faithful and ever true, and you can make no mistakes. Oh, Lord, dear God, touch our hearts tonight. Help us understand the Word of God, the things of God, the things that you'd have for us. Bless the preaching now tonight, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, Noah lived in a special time. It was hundreds of years after the death of Adam, not a long time after the death of Adam. We know that Methuselah was 969 years of age and he died. And of course, Noah knew Methuselah. And then the floods came. But Noah wanted me to share this with you. He lived in a time of great wickedness. Noah lived in, we know that from everything that the Word of God teaches. Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." It's very evident that the time of Noah, man had degraded this earth beyond God's comprehension anymore. And Noah wanted us to know something. God only waits so long. We may think everything's going fine. We may think everything's all right, but God only waits so long. We sit here and we wonder, but in Noah's time, God came to Noah, told him to build an ark, told him to do things. 120 years went by, but God waited. God waited 120 years. Noah built that ark. During all that time, Noah's preaching to the people, telling them, I believe, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, telling them of forgiveness, telling them of the love of God, telling them to repent and get right with God. No man would listen. No man would care. Man was given apple of opportunity, wasn't he? 120 years. But there was a way being prepared. It's called the ark. Then judgment came. It came quickly. Man had no way out. The rains came. The ark began to float. God had shut up the door. I can only imagine what it must have been like as those trying to find a way to stay afloat as the waters rose and as every man upon the planet Earth perished because they would not listen. 1 Peter 3:20 says, "Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. So Noah says very clearly to us, I lived in a time of great, great wickedness. But we live in a time of great wickedness. All you have to do is look around. All you have to do is pick up any paper, if there is a paper anymore, or turn on any TV anywhere, and see the wickedness that's going on around us. And folks, I've been looking and doing a little bit of studying over the last couple of weeks. So I got to looking at the international news. And you know there's mass shootings going on in other countries as well as America? Do you read about them anywhere? Do you hear anybody say anything about them? But there are people, there's a young girl just killed 19 people over in India. 19 people. And the things are going on. We live in a time of great wickedness. We live in a time exactly the way God says. We live in a time of great, great wickedness. The Bible says this in Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then he said the whole world was wicked. In John 5:19 he said, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. This was at the time of Christ. He very clearly says the whole world lieth in a time of wickedness. Listen to me carefully, folks. How many of you have been wondering in your heart and mind, I wonder what it was like in the time of Noah? Because that's how, when Jesus is coming back. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, at his time, they were living in a time of wickedness. I'm going to tell you one time. God gave 120 years. I don't know how many times God has given now, but it could be any time. I do not believe we have to look around and think, oh, I think one more thing has to happen, or one more thing has to get worse. It could be any time. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. We live in a time of great, great wickedness. But God's provided a way of escape. In Galatians 1:4, the Bible says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and the Father. You see, folks, Jesus is our ark. Jesus is our ark. God has provided a way. As he provided a way for Noah, he's provided a way for you and for me. He has provided an ark. So Noah said he lived in a day of great wickedness. But we also do too. But Noah also said something. Noah was also warned of God that there was a coming judgment. He was clearly warned. Genesis 6:7 says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Look what God said, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, repented here is a strong, strong word, but it simply means it grieved God as it would grieve any loving father. He looked upon those whom he'd made, those whom he'd loved, Adam's race, looked upon them and said, I'm sorry that they had to turn out this way. It repented him that he made them. It's not saying that he did any wrong. He's just like a loving father would say about any child, it grieves my heart that they were this way. But God said it's exactly that way. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And behold, I, even I, do bring the flood upon the water to the earth, upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. There came a time. There came a time that the Bible, God says, I'm done. I think he's about ready. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Hebrews 11:7 says this, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now let me just say this simply to you all tonight. We have been warned by God there's coming judgment. We've been warned. We're warned every single day. We've been warned by God there is coming judgment. And yet we just carry on like nothing's changing. We wake up and we pray and we talk, but we don't get burdened for the souls of men. I think Noah was so burdened that he wept over men and cried over men for 120 years. But we've been warned because, you see, God always judges unrighteousness. Romans 1:18, Pastor just preached on this the other night. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God's word is always true. God never changes. He's warned us. We have been warned by God of coming judgment. 1 Peter 3:7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which were now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. The time's already been set, folks. Acts 17:31 says, behold, he hath appointed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereon he has given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. So he's warned already. And we've been warned as well. So here's Noah, and he's talking. He says, I live in a great place of great, great problems, wickedness. I've been warned. But then Noah was told by God how he could escape. He was clearly told of God how he could escape. Look at Genesis 6:14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Why did he allow Noah to do that? Because Genesis 6:8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then he was told how to escape. When the Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and then God says, do this. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall be set on the side thereof, the lower, the second, and the third stories shall thou make it. I was reading that, thinking about that, and as I talked with my friend Noah, and he's telling me about these things and warning me about different things and showing how he had a way of escape. And I got to thinking, why did God tell him to make a ship so big? Well, we know to put all those animals in to save them. But I think there's another picture here that I think we need to get a hold of, because God has shown us a way of escape as well. Very, very clear that God has shown us a way of escape. And I think it's simply this. There's plenty of room for everybody. And I think that's what God was showing Noah right there. I think when he was making that ark of gopher wood, there could have been a huge amount of people saved if they would have just listened to Noah. Even in that wicked, hard time, I think he would have found place for a lot of people in that ark. I may be wrong, but I don't. God, because Noah found grace, and God gave him 120 years while he's building that ark for people to get right with God. Now, interesting thing about it, what if after 120 years, as Noah built that ark, made it exactly that way, people started getting right with God? What if? What do you think would happen? Anybody got an idea? What do you think would happen? I think God would have stayed the flood. I think even though that was built, God would have stayed the flood just the same way it was with a few years later with a man by the name of Abraham. When he prayed there, God said he got down to 10 men. If Abraham would have found 10 men, what would have happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? But he didn't. But Noah found a place to escape. And it was that God put him in the ark. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So God provided him a way of escape. Guess what? You know that what the next thing is. You know what my next point is, don't you? God's provided us a way of escape too, hadn't he? God's provided us a simple way of escape. Hallelujah, he's found a way we can escape. We must simply just do it God's way. That's all Noah had to do. He just did it God's way. Galatians 1, 11, 12 says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just like Noah, it's simply of God's grace. For by grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Titus tells us, doesn't he? For the grace of God that he bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God has given us an absolute easy way of escape, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. It's the only way of salvation. Just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, can I ask you all a question? Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Is there a time in your life when you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Is there a time when you saw exactly what you were in the sight of God and just trusted God's way? God's simple, simple way. Simply come by faith. The Bible says in Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved by wrath through him. God made a way of escape. I escaped. In 1969, I escaped. What a great escape it was, man. He saved my soul. You know why? You know what Noah taught me also? He said, you know, Walt, I just simply obeyed God's revelation to me. I just simply obeyed what God showed me. He said, you know, it's so simple. It is so easy. I just simply obeyed God's revelation to me. Noah just simply believed God's word. Hebrews 11:7 says this, by faith Noah, being warned of God of all things, yet not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah simply obeyed God's word. He simply obeyed God's revelation to him. Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Genesis 7:5 says, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Do you remember what Jesus said? If you love me, what do? Keep my commandments. That's all Noah did. Then Noah did something rather interesting. This is what I love about Noah. God came to him. God showed him what he had to do. God promised what he'd do for him. Noah obeyed God, just completely obeyed God, made no pretenses about it all. And in 2 Peter 2:5, the Bible says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. And this is what I love about it. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Let me tell you what Noah did. When God warned him, and he began building, he began preaching. And for that 120 years, he kept right at it. For that 120 years, he did not give up. For that 120 years, just because nothing seemed to be going right, it didn't make any difference whatsoever. You just keep after it. Isn't that why we're here? You see, we're to heed God's revelation to us. What has God taught us? What has God shown us? We're to believe God's word. John 10:29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen, yet have believed. God just simply wants us to believe His Word. I think, personally, we live in the most exciting time a Christian could ever live. We have more of an opportunity. Do you realize, I just read something about the state of Alabama. Now, everybody thinks about Bible Belt, and we live in the part of that is good. And I talked to my brother who lives in Colorado, and he says, man, you live in such a better place than I do as far as things go. But you know that over 54%, back in 1990, 90% of Alabamans said they either went to church or believed that there was a God. It's down to 54% now in the state of Alabama. But guess what? That means that God has just put us in a place like Noah. God has just said to us, listen to what I've said. I'm building a place for you. Difference, one little difference. Noah had to build the ark. But Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's just simply saying to us, we're to heed God's revelation to us. And that's simply this. As things get worse and as things get tougher, we just need to stay on being preachers of righteousness. That's what Noah did. Just stayed at it. We are to obey God's word. Romans 16:26 says this, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All we have to do is simply obey God. And then Noah said this, Walt, I was simply saved by faith. You know, you all said that Walt had some really good times with Noah. Well, the thing of it is, the times I had with Noah is the same ones you can have with him, aren't they? Because the only places that you know that, I'm just making a joke of it, the only places I could find to have fellowship with Noah is this wonderful book that God left to tell me about Noah. But the last thing he said to me, he said, I was simply saved by faith. You see, he was justified before God. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He was preserved by Almighty God from judgment. The Bible says in Genesis 7:23, and every living substance was destroyed upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things and the fowls of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Well, guess what? Noah was saved by faith, and we are too, aren't we? We're saved by faith. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. We're saved from judgment. Verily, verily, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I was a young Christian. You know, I was young at one time. I was a young Christian. I was 26 years of age. Got saved, on fire for God. And then I listened to a radio preacher. And he said this. If you can't remember the day that you were saved, you probably weren't saved. And I could remember the day, but I couldn't remember the month. I knew it was on a Monday, but I couldn't remember the exact day. And guess what I started doing? I started worrying about it. And so every day, the more I worried, I started asking God every day to save me. I asked Him time and time and time again for about 4 months. I'd only been saved for about 3 or 4 months at the time, and I just didn't know if I just didn't know if I was saved, and it was driving me nuts. I would ask Him to save me when I was going to work. I'd be taking my break at work, and I'd ask Him to save me. I'd be out there putting in a sound system somewhere, and I'd stop and ask Him to save me, and I never could get any confidence that I was saved. And then I did a dumb thing. I began reading the Word of God. And I was reading my devotion one day, and I got to John 5:24. And I very carefully started reading it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, unto you, he that heareth my word. And I stopped and thought to myself, I've heard His word over and over again. I go to church every service. I heard His word. And believeth on Him that sent me. And I said to myself, I've done that. I believe on Him that sent me. I believe there's a God. I believe there's one. I believe God sent Jesus. I believe with all my heart and soul. Hath everlasting life. I don't know how it could happen to you, but it dawned on me. Right there, it dawned on me. D-A-W-N dawned on me. I'm saved. And then it says, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, as you all may know, every once in a while, I just get excited. Every once in a while, I just get excited about things. I took my Bible. I was in my bedroom, and I took my Bible, and I looked around the room, and I said, I know you're here somewhere, devil. I want you to read this. And I opened up to John 5:24, and I read John 5:24 to the devil. And I said, you listen to that. I'm saved. And I'll always be saved. Just like Noah. Just like Noah. Noah's got some good things to teach us, folks. Noah wants us to know a lot of things. We live in dark times. But we've got all that we need. We've got a God that loves us more than we'll ever know. And He saved our souls and just wants us to serve Him with all our heart and soul. Just be certain, sure tonight, that there's a time in your life that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And then ask God what He'd like you to do. And just do whatever He calls you to do. That's all Noah did. That's all he did. And he's still my friend. And he wants to be your friend too. But there's one that sticks closer than a brother that wants to be your friend even more. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad that we've got people in the Bible like Noah? Folks, it's not much difference in our time. It's his time. Maybe no difference. It may be exactly the same for all I know. Are you ready? I'm ready. I love the song, I want to be there when they crown Him King of Kings. I want to be there when the bells of heaven ring. Man, how about you? Let's get on fire for Him. Let's serve Him in this place.